We're going to be in the book of Joshua this morning, and I think the song that Leslie sung was very fitting with what we're going to be doing today. We don't tend to get together to try to make the songs match what I preach and whatnot. Generally, she doesn't know what I'm preaching until you all do, so it's not like we plan this out, but I think it fits together, and it just further goes to show that that God orchestrates things even when we don't understand or we don't expect it. But anyway, Joshua chapter number 3, I've been considering this week what to preach, and this passage has kind of stayed in my mind. The past couple months has been difficult on everyone, and I've tried to kind of determine in my heart and my mind to encourage you from God's Word during these services. And I don't know, some of you may have been a little bit concerned whenever you saw this morning in the message I sent out that we were going to start on the book of Job this morning. That's not necessarily generally the most encouraging book. I was hoping no one got that message and they're like, oh no, the book of Job. But anyway, hopefully the way that I end up teaching it, it does become encouraging. We'll see. But anyway, I want to be encouraging in our services because things have been a little heavy. They have been difficult. They have been different. And so I know we're prone to discouragement and even depression at times. And I'm no different than any of you all in that respect. I may be worse. I don't know. But anyway, in this passage we're reading this morning, I mentioned it probably a few weeks ago. I don't know, maybe a month. I've lost track. I'm kind of like Daisy. I'm forgetting which day it is. But anyway, I mentioned this a while back, and I believe that it's fitting to take a closer look at it today. So if you will, Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. It's a short chapter, so I'll go ahead and I'll aim to read the whole chapter. But we're going to take one verse in particular in this passage and look at it this morning. But Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up up on a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right across Jericho, or right against Jericho, excuse me, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask his blessings on the service and on his word, and we'll dive right in here. Lord, we come to you once again today. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for those who have joined us here, Lord, for their desire, their willingness to come together and to hear your word and fellowship with one another. And we just pray your blessings on your word. Pray, Lord, your guidance, Lord, in preaching your word. Lord, just help me to communicate the things that I need to, Lord. And Lord, I ask you with each person here, Lord, that they would get something from your word today, Lord, that they would receive encouragement, they would receive help from it, Lord. And Lord, I pray with those who are unable to join us here today as well. I pray your blessings on them. Those who will listen later on online and things, Lord, I pray you be with them. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness upon us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name and amen. So as we look at this passage this morning, I want to draw your attention, your focus to one specific verse. Look at verse number 4. And at the last part of that verse, Joshua tells them that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And so I want to look for just a little while on you have not passed this way before, just as our title there, our idea that we're going to be looking at. And I've always liked this verse just because of what was getting ready to happen here. What's going on in this, to get a little bit of a context, is that the children of Israel were getting ready to start a new chapter. They were traveling in new territory. They were facing new obstacles. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and a good portion of those people there at that day had lived their entire life in those conditions. You think about it, the people who came out of Israel, they came up to the promised land. They refused to believe God and go in. And God says, you'll wander 40 years in the wilderness until all of those who were over 20 years old at that time passed away. So other than just a couple of men, other than just Joshua and Caleb, everyone in that group was under 60 years old. Some of them, whenever they came out of Egypt, would have been between 1 and 20. But two-thirds of them, by simple math, would have been born in the wilderness. They would have been born within that 40-year period. And so they were used to the conditions. They were used to living in the wilderness. They were used to being nomads and wandering in their tents and things. Most of them hadn't seen Egypt. Most of them hadn't been slaves. Most of them wasn't there when they crossed the Red Sea. They had had their needs provided in the wilderness. They had seen the manna fall from heaven. They had wore clothes that didn't wear out. And so most of their life was spent following Moses as well. Most of them were accustomed to that life in the wilderness as nomads, and they were used to living in peace. But now things were just getting ready to change. Joshua was a new leader that was taking over in place of Moses. He hadn't yet been fully secured in that position. We found in the passage that we read here, in verse number 7, the Lord told Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they'll know that I'll be with you as I was with Moses. And so Joshua wasn't even fully installed in his position yet. And so they had a new leader, and this new leader was taking them in a new direction. It was a lot of change. And one thing I know about people is they don't like change. I know the people that I live with here don't like change. Some even worse about it than others, I think. But anyway, people don't like change. And so the spies had just returned. If you read Joshua chapter 2, the spies were sent into Jericho, into the very edge of the promised land to spy out the first city that they were going to come in contact with. And they almost got captured. There was the least likely of people to help them, a harlot by the name of Rahab. And so she helped them to escape and protected them. came back into the camp there of the host of Israel, and told all about Jericho, told about the things that they had seen, about the walled cities, about almost getting captured. And now Joshua makes an announcement just a day or so later and tells them, okay, guys, we're headed to new territory. And so as we consider this passage today, it's no surprise to any of us that life tends to throw us curves from time to time. Even while we're following God, God's not content to lead us continually in a comfortable and familiar path. And so we often think of these difficult journeys and these new places as being a negative experience. Kind of like our current situation that we're in. We are in, we're traveling roads that we haven't been before with isolation and quarantine and all of this mess that's going on. And yes, they're trying to reopen things and all, but it's all new territory for us. And we're wondering, okay, they're saying that by such and such date, things are going to be back to normal if we don't have any hiccups along the way. And so we often look at these paths as being negative. And with all of these things, like I said, it's very apparent that we haven't passed this way before with what we're going through. And frankly, I'm hoping that we don't pass this way again. Right. I don't want another pandemic. I don't want another quarantine. I'm hoping we don't pass this way again. But there's also many other things that we could consider, different curves that life throws our way, different struggles that we end up on, different paths that we have to take that are unfamiliar and that are uncomfortable for us. It could be new opportunities that God brings our way. It can be new jobs. It can be losing jobs. It can be having children. It can be broken relationships. It can be losing loved ones. It can be many other things. And so you can see clearly just from this list that many of these new areas are good. Many of them are bad. And there's oftentimes we don't know which one they're going to be as we're going through it. You ever went through a situation where you didn't understand and you weren't sure, is this good? Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And that's kind of where the children of Israel were at this time. They were going through a situation that they weren't sure if it was a good thing or a bad thing. There were so many different uncertainties about it. There were so many different things about it that they probably did not like. It would have been easier for them to stay in the wilderness, for them to eat the manna, for them to stay in the familiar areas and camp in the same spots and drink from the same water holes and wells and whatnot. That would have been easier for them because we like routine. We are averse to change. But God, like I said, was not content to leave them in that place. He said, it's time for us to go into new territory. It's time for us to conquer new horizons, so to speak. And so he led them on this journey into the unknown. And so it starts off here with what we've brought out as being our focus today there in verse number 4. You have not passed this way before. And so just a few things that we're going to consider here is just nothing too earth-shattering, nothing too surprising in the message this morning, I don't think. But anyway, the first thing that I want to look at about this passage is the uncomfortable circumstances. We see the uncomfortable circumstances here. As Joshua announced, we're headed into new territory, and the Israelites looked at the raging and flooded Jordan River that we've seen there in verse number 15. It says that the river was flooded during the times of the harvest. And so there was a raging and flooded river before them. They looked across the river to the city of Jericho that was heavily fortified that these spies had just told them about. But I believe they could see it on the other side. We see in verse number 16 that they passed over right against Jericho. And so they're seeing the river, they're seeing the city on the other side, and Joshua is saying, that's the direction we're going. You haven't went there before, but we're getting ready to. And so maybe with them looking at Joshua as their new leader, they may have been thinking he's a little too ambitious. He's maybe even off his rocker, so to speak, that they're crossing the flooded river. Maybe it'd be better to wait until the waters went down. Maybe it'd be better to go downstream and cross further away from Jericho. Or maybe it'd be good just to stay in the wilderness and don't even cross to begin with. They would have had all kinds of thoughts going through their mind because they were going to be facing floods. They were going to be fighting walled cities. They were following a leader that they were unsure about, that was unproven. And so the circumstances for them were uncomfortable. As I said already, they had grown accustomed to the tents, to the desert, to the manna, to the wandering. It wasn't paradise, but it was familiar. And so if you put yourself into their shoes, the road ahead of them was very intimidating. They didn't know the whole story like we do today. We can look at it and we can see how God directed everything, how he gave them the victory in Jericho, how he helped them to conquer the promised land. We know about the period of the judges and of the kings. We know about Christ coming later on. We know all the things that God done through them. But at that time, all they could focus on was the unknown circumstances that lay just ahead of them. We can become critical of them because we have all these details. But just let me remind you that if we were looking back at our uncomfortable circumstances after the fact, after we had all the details, we would have quite a different perspective of our situations as well. You could probably think back in times in your life of times whenever you totally flipped out looking at something that you were about ready to face, and then after you got through it, you looked back and you could see God's hand and his provision in it, or just the fact that it wasn't as bad as you made it out to be in your own mind. I know there's been plenty of things that I faced in the past that were a lot bigger circumstances looking onward at them than looking backward to them.
Right.
And so anyway, in your life you're going to find many uncomfortable circumstances. And in reality, those are a blessing from God. We were looking at this a little bit in the book of Job, of how God brings the uncomfortable circumstances in our lives and how he works through all of them. And so with that, what kind of new territory is life bringing your way? What things can you look at your life that you haven't traveled this way before? What new territory is God placing you in? Because in reality, those places that he is putting you in is for your benefit and it's for your growth, even if they don't appear to be, even if you can see no good in them whatsoever. Just for instance, in my own life, I think I've spent most of my life here in the past several years in this territory, in this idea of a place that you haven't passed in before. Coming to a new country, involving myself in a new ministry, new position, new activities that I have to do, new responsibilities and all of it. It's God, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't went this way before.
Right.
And maybe you can relate to that in different areas as well. But God has always laid out a roadmap in his word for such circumstances and such situations. Even though we may not have went this way before, we know that he's going before us.
Right.
We know that he is leading the way and he is directing our steps. And so that brings us to our second point. Not only was there uncomfortable circumstances, there was an unusual dependence. An unusual dependence. Uncomfortable circumstances call for an unusual dependence. When we grow comfortable, we lose sight of our real need to depend on God. I know oftentimes apathy, or as the book of Revelation calls it, being lukewarm, is a tendency that we have. And so we can get comfortable where we're at. As I said earlier, the children of Israel probably would have been content to stay in the wilderness and continue to wander. Think, for instance, whenever they first came out of Egypt and they approached to the promised land and they saw all the uncomfortable circumstances there, they were ready to go back to Egypt, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
We look at them and we think, how foolish could you be? You were slaves. You were being beaten. You were being abused. You were having to work and build bricks and do all of these things that was going on. They were severely mistreated, but they were preferring what was familiar. They were preferring those things because it was more comfortable than depending on God to take them in to uncertainty.
Right.
And so the first group failed whenever they came up against the promised land.
Right.
They said, there's uncertain circumstances. We refuse to depend on God. We want to stay where it's comfortable. We want to stay with what's familiar. And so they lost out. They missed out. We'll look at that a little bit more in just a moment. But in these uncomfortable circumstances, it calls for unusual dependence. And so if we're not careful, like I said, we grow comfortable, we lose sight of our need to depend on God, not realizing that everything comes from God anyway, that God is in charge, he's in control, he's directing things. And so if we would get our right perspective of who God is and his relationship to us, and that's one of the things that we're studying the book of Job about at the moment. But anyway, if we get that right perspective, it's going to change how we look at these uncertain circumstances. As the Israelites looked at the flooded river, most had only heard of the Red Sea. Remember I said at least two-thirds of them were born in the wilderness? They had heard their parents and their grandparents tell them about whenever Moses parted the waters of the Red Sea. But now they're standing at Jericho. And there's going to be doubts in their, or not Jericho, at Jordan. There's going to be doubts in their mind of saying, okay, I've heard about it from my parents and my grandparents, but will God do the same thing for me?
Mm-hmm.
And they had their doubts.
Right.
They had never seen it themselves. And so they were questioning whether God would still work in their lives the same way as they had heard it in others. We fall into the same category sometimes. We read about these things in Scripture and say, yeah, we read about it. We trust the Word of God. We understand that these things happened, but God won't still do that for me. God doesn't still work in that way in my life. God won't deliver me in the same way as He delivered them. And we have these same doubts, and I figure that from my own experience in this, they were going through the same thing. Yeah, I heard it from mom and dad. Yeah, I heard it from my grandparents. But I don't think it applies to me. I don't think the same thing will happen. God won't part the waters a second time. And so they'd only heard of the Red Sea. They weren't warriors. They hadn't fought battles. Now there was, I believe, one battle recorded in the time of their wilderness wanderings. But they weren't trained soldiers. They weren't warriors. They were desert nomads. They were shepherds. They were farmers. The older ones may have been masons and brick builders and such because of their time as slaves down in Egypt, but they weren't soldiers. They had never battled before. And so in verse number 9, Joshua told them to hear the words of the Lord, and he shared with them the promises of God. That's a powerful thing. Look at verse number 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And so he just relates to them the words that God had just revealed to them, the promises of God, what God was getting ready to do. And so after he had told them that, he sends the ark before them. Now the ark was a symbol of God's presence amongst them. Of course, we don't want to get caught up on the symbolism and the idolatry and different things of having some visual replica or something. But for the children of Israel, the ark was their symbol of the presence of God. And so he sends this before them. And in what we looked at there in verse number 4, it says there's going to be a space between you and the ark of about 2,000 cubits. That's roughly a kilometer, okay? 1 kilometer between them and the ark. And they're going to watch that going on before them. And so if they're going to face this new territory, it was going to require some unusual dependence on God. They were going to have to keep their eyes on God before them.
Right.
They were going to have to keep their mind on God's promises, and they were going to have to keep their feet moving in the direction that God was leading them. And it's much the same whenever we're facing new circumstances as well, whenever we're facing new territory or these uncomfortable circumstances we've been talking about. And so we need to keep our eyes upon God. We need to keep our mind on the promises of God. And we need to keep our feet headed where He has directed, even if it seems like we're headed toward a walled city or a flooded river, as what the children of Israel were. I know more than likely that's just figurative. I don't think that God's ever going to necessarily direct you to walk into the middle of a flooded river. Hey, it may happen. But figuratively speaking, even if there's obstacles before us or unsurmountable odds before us, keep our feet going forward, trust in God to remove the obstacles and to overcome the enemies that are in our way. And so we need to do that, walking forward, depending on Him, resting in knowing that He is all-powerful and unconditionally loving toward us. He is our Savior. Often we're tempted to focus on the obstacles. We're tempted to focus on the battles. I wonder if maybe this was one of the reasons why the Ark of God went about a kilometer in front of them, because as it was there in the distance, that's where their focus was going to be, was focusing in on that ark, not on all the things that was around them. Could you imagine if they were just right behind it, if they were real close to the ark, and as they approached the river, their focus was going to be on the river. Their focus was going to be on Jericho on the other side of the river. All of these things going on. But as that ark was a good while out in front of them, the waters were going to part long before they got to the waters.
Right.
Long before the waters become their focus, the problem was already going to move out of its way.
Right.
And so they needed to focus on God's presence and God being before them. And so they were needing to focus their full dependence upon God to bring them through this situation. And so, as we're tempted to focus on obstacles and battles ahead of us, we do that as if we're facing them alone, as if we have to overcome them, as if we have to figure them out, as if we have to have all the answers. But the Word of God shows us plainly that we don't have to figure them out. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to do all of it on our own, but instead, we need to have an unusual dependence on God as we move forward, as we walk in the direction that He would have us to lead us in.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our dependence. He wants our faith. Because the Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, I want to read that because I only quoted a portion of that. And it's a very good passage. But Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so that shows us an unusual focus and dependence on God, a faith in Him. And so now the third thing that I want to look at here of this whole story is the unexpected result. So we started out here, and just making this a simple outline, we started out with the uncomfortable circumstances, and then we looked at the unusual dependence that was required in those circumstances, and now we look at the unexpected results as a result of the dependence that they had upon God. Remember I said earlier, whenever the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they did not depend on God. They wanted what was comfortable, what was familiar, and they did not enter into the promised land. Because they failed to depend on God, they did not have the results that this group did.
Right.
But this group depended on God, and they saw some unexpected results.
Mm-hmm.
So as the priests were carrying the ark, now, just as a side note here, the Ark of the Covenant, this was a box. It held the Ten Commandments. It was covered with gold. It had a pot of manna in it, Aaron's rod that budded. It had these big cherubims or whatever on the top of it and wings, and it would have been a wild-looking thing. But it had two poles that went through it, and it would be carried by four men, and this was, like I said, the symbol of God's presence amongst them. And so the priests are carrying this ark, this golden box that was decorated and ornamental and all that, and they're walking toward this overflowing river. Now, a river is frightening enough, especially with me, I can't swim very well. A river is frightening enough without it being flooded and overflowing. And so what do you think was going through the minds of these priests? They're carrying the ark, walking straight toward a flooded river.
Yeah.
Does any of that make sense in our minds?
No.
And they're sitting there thinking, okay, God, what are you going to do? Surely there's a bridge somewhere there. Maybe there's a shallow place. Maybe there's a ford that we can cross. Should we build a raft? Should we build a bridge? There's a lot of us. Maybe we can build a bridge. You know, there's all kinds of things they could be thinking about, how they could get themselves through this situation.
Yeah.
But God told them to take the ark, put some distance between them and the camp, and go to the edge of the river and put their feet in the water.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting as well that the waters did not part until they stepped in. They had to take that first step, and then God did the rest of it.
Right.
And so I don't figure they were expecting the waters to part just like that they did. I don't think they were expecting that as soon as their feet touched it, that it would just whoosh back and there'd be dry land underneath of it, and they would just be able to go across on dry land. I don't think the priests were expecting that. They were probably nervous as can be. They were probably afraid. They may have even been questioning, saying, okay, Joshua, we heard this from you. It sounds crazy to us. What if it doesn't work?
Right.
That may have been the thought that was going through their mind. I don't know. I don't claim to be able to read minds, especially of people who have been dead for thousands of years. But this is just what I'm thinking in my own mind of what might have been happening. And so they weren't expecting the parting of the river. And what about circling of Jericho? They just came through the river, and Joshua now commands them and says, okay, guys, we've got this city, huge walls built up, impenetrable fort. And so here's our plan of attack. We're going to march around the city. We're going to take one circle around Jericho today, another one tomorrow, another one the next day, another one the next day, and so forth. And then on the seventh day, we're going to go around it, I believe, six, seven times. And that's how we're going to defeat the city. And I can imagine them bringing up to Joshua and saying, Joshua, I know you've never really fought battles before. I know you've not really fought the enemies. And I know you're the oldest guy here around us, but you may not realize, but this isn't how battles are fought and won. This isn't how we attack cities. And so that you'd have these questions about it. But anyway, we know that at the end of the story now, looking back, that it worked. That as crazy as it seemed, it worked. And they weren't expecting the results that they got from marching around Jericho.
Yeah.
They probably didn't expect the results of all the battles that they faced that seemed impossible.
Right.
They didn't expect the spoil that God was going to give them, the land that was flowing with milk and honey that they were going to inhabit, while they were thinking that they would just stay in the wilderness and feast on the manna and live in the desert and try to hopefully have enough water to get by.
Right.
They didn't know what God had ahead of them, what He had planned for them. They never expected all that God was going to do for them.
Right.
But they just had to depend on God to lead them where they had never traveled before.
Yeah.
And so, let me encourage you that God grows us through uncomfortable circumstances.
Yeah.
Daisy and I were talking about this just a little bit during the break. God grows us through uncomfortable circumstances. He purifies us.
Right.
He reveals Himself to us. And He causes us to depend upon Him more.
Right.
The best place in our life that we can be, in our Christian life, in our growth with God, is at the place where we have nowhere to look but up.
Right.
Whenever we have no one to trust in, when we are incapable of ourselves, whenever the only one that we can look to is God, that is whenever we are getting ready for good things to happen.
Right.
That's when we're getting ready for God to grow us and to stretch us a little bit, for Him to bring us into new territories that we never imagined. That's whenever He's getting ready to bring about unexpected results in our lives, when we have no place to turn besides Him.
Right.
And so none of us like going into uncharted waters. However, we can know that God is the captain of our vessel. He's leading us to a place that is far better for us. And you're never going to know what He's going to bring out of your test or your trial, but it's still up to us to trust Him to bring about an unexpected result in our lives. And so, even in the current situation that we're going through, people have asked and said, okay, what's God's purpose behind this? Why is He allowing it to happen? And all these other questions that's entering their minds. Have no fear whatsoever. Have no doubt but that God is at work.
Right.
God is on the throne. God is in control. And He's bringing about things that you're not expecting.
Right.
He's bringing about things that you can't imagine going into. And He will bring about those results. I can tell you this. I don't believe after the Israelites crossed the river, after they defeated Jericho, after they took possession of the promised land, I don't think there was any question in their mind that God led them to a place that was far better than where they were at before.
Yeah.
I have no question in my mind, but they knew that it was worth the battles that they faced.
Right.
It was worth the times that they stepped out in faith. It was
right.
worth the times that they could not see where God was leading them, and they thought maybe that God was crazy in the direction that He was going.
Yeah.
It was worth it in the end, and likewise for us as Christians, it's worth it.
Yeah.
God's going to take care of us if we're one of His children.
Right.
Doesn't mean that that road's going to be easy, but I believe you're going to like where it ends up at.
Right.
If nothing else, if it's not in this world, it's going to be after this.
Yeah.
If nothing else, if we have no good in this world, that He's already prepared us a home and provided us a place, it will be worth it then.
Right.
And so we can trust Him. So as I was preparing this message today, there was a quote that came into my mind, and I just want to end with this one quote, and I think I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But don't know who exactly said it, but it goes something like this. I'll try not to mess it up anyway. That God is too good to be unkind,
mm-hmm.
and He is too wise to be mistaken. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart.
Right.
And so I'll leave you with that here today, that God loves us. He's in control. He knows a lot more information about our circumstances than we do.
Right.
And so during times of trouble, during times of testing, whenever you're going into new territory, when you're going away which you have not passed before,
right.
trust God. Wait and see what He's going to do.
Yeah.
He'll bring about unexpected results. And you'll be glad that you followed Him.
Right.
good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Once again, thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this passage, and I pray that it was a help and an encouragement. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to practice what I preach, that in whatever circumstances we go in, Lord, that I would focus upon you, Lord, that I would follow you and depend upon you, Lord, and allow you to bring about the results. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with each of the people here listening today, Lord. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray, Lord, encourage their hearts. Help them, Lord, to put that dependence upon you in whatever situations, whatever hardships, whatever struggles they face. And Lord, allow you to work in their lives that which only you can do. Lord, I pray, ask you be with our little church. Lord, I pray that you'd bless it, Lord, even if we're not able to assemble together in one building, Lord, we're assembling together in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We just pray, ask you, Lord, that you would grow us through this time and through the struggles, Lord. Help us to keep our focus on you. Help us not to grumble and to complain. And Lord, I just pray, ask you, Lord, that through all this we become stronger and more faithful and more committed to you, Lord. I just pray, waiting to see great things accomplished, Lord, through you. And Lord, I pray that you be with our communities about us. Help us be a light and a witness to them as we're able to. And Lord, thank you so much for all you do and all the things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.